further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Sobriety. Moving further every day. Plenty of young cats still got affection. And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host, David Von Strawn. Now here's David.
Hello, Charlottesville! It is Sunday. It is November the 4th. If you're... Hey, Jeff. Executive producer of 94.7. And you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rocker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Just a little guy, hairy feet, trying to get through the darkness. Executive producer, HNIC Clinton Johnston, is on the boards. Being my co-host for the evening while Leslie is out in London celebrating becoming a Mimi, as she likes to call it. I like to call it a grandmother because that's what she is. I don't care if it makes you sound old. That's what you are.
Every reasonable person likes to call it a grandmother.
You know, it's just what it is, Grandma. That's what you are. You can try to soften the blow all you want with fancy nomenclature. You are a grandmother, and I am so happy for you and Nia and their lovely child and her lovely child, whose name escapes me. But they are healthy. They are well. Everything went success. Leslie's still in London, having a blast. I imagine her just like being at the pub, just like holding the phone up, like, I'm a grandmother.
Really? Because I don't imagine she's listening to us at all.
No, but I just imagine her like getting the news and just being like, just elated, like at this pub getting smashed.
Yeah. And yeah. Certainly.
Oh, by the way, your daughter. Across the pond. That's like crazy. I don't know how she feels about it. I would be torn.
Yeah?
I don't know. But I hope you're doing well, Leslie, and we miss you, and we hope you're back soon. But the show must go on. Actually, it don't have to go on because Ragtime is over. Whew. Thank you.
David, congratulations on the finishing of Ragtime.
Congratulations on the finishing of The Lion in Winter, which is also...
Thank you very much. Talking to Mike.
Which was also an amazing show, and I wish I got to see, but you know how it is.
I know how it is.
You know how it is as actor. So,
I almost missed Ragtime. I had to go to the door begging. It's like, I know you're sold out, but please, could you, would you let me in to see your play? Please, sir, could I have a little theater?
All right,
sir?
This helps our demographic. Come on in. Come on in. Adds a little color into the audience.
So exactly. There you go.
We'll let you in for this time. But yeah, it was a great experience.
You didn't need that for Ragtime. Ragtime pulled out the black people.
Yeah, Ragtime found all the black people in Charlottesville that could act and threw them on the stage and was like, go. Do your thing. But no, there's way more. There's way, way, way more. Just go out. Keep supporting black theater. Keep supporting all theater. And let's keep this tide rolling of great, wonderful, moving, socially relevant theater going on in Charlottesville. So thank you, Live Arts. Thank you, Ragtime. Blah, 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 blah.
Did you know I just directed a play that had no social relevance at all?
Well, sometimes you just need that, like, Leave It to Beaver.
You know,
like,
I did
type,
that.
Like,
you know,
escapism.
It was just, like, it was nothing. It was,
yeah.
It was just a good show.
Sometimes you need guys in frilly blouses just talking weird. And, you know.
they were pirate shirts. Thank you very much.
Oh. Yeah. I call it puffy shirts, like Seinfeld. But that's neither here nor there. Let's get to the incredibly sexy part of the show, shall we? Instead of me and Clinton talking. We're going to
That's not the incredibly sexy part of the show.
It should be, though. It always is. But this is Superman himself just flew into our studio, and apparently he knows tango. No, I'm just kidding. This is the wonderful Nathan Gillespie. He is El Presidente of Charlottesville Tango. No, that's exactly what he said that he is, and that's what we wrote down.
But I said not El Dictatura.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Slight difference.
There, no dictators in America. There are classes that are hosted by Anna Leon that go on every Thursday at the Charlottesville Tango. Also, what's this Tango on Water thing?
Tango on Water is the name of the street. So we ended up getting this studio on Water Street. So we thought, let's give it a name.
I've walked by it.
What better than Tango on Water?
And that's new, right? Because Charlottesville Tango's been going on for a while.
We had our El Grand opening last Saturday night.
What?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Sorry you guys couldn't make it.
We were busy.
We were busy doing theater.
You're going to have to forgive me because sometimes I don't get the accent, but did you introduce yourself as Suave?
Yeah. Yes, I did. Well, Negro, yeah, Suave.
Negro Suave. Well, I think we should channel some of that suave-ness into some tango.
I hear that.
Maybe you ought to come down for a lesson.
Dude,
on
you
Thursday.
Should. We have another co-host. I mean, he knows exactly what to do. Lead into the joints. Yeah, let's. Can we kick
David,
some tango?
David, you need to get some tango in your life.
I do. I think we all need to get some tango in our life. So we're going to kick a little tango right now just to put y'all in the mood, just to show y'all what we're talking about.
Throw some tango music underneath our interview.
That'll work too.
I think we're going to play some Carlos de Sali.
Yeah, we are. We're going to play it right now.
This is the king of smooth here.
Especially picked. Yes. The Luther Vandross of tango, you might say.
If I wasn't awake, I am now.
It's still playing. We just can't hear it over the.
I don't want to hear it. Well, he talks about it. But yeah. So that puts you in the mood. So, what is tango exactly for somebody like myself that doesn't necessarily know what something is, but sees it on TV and thinks that they know what it is? What is tango exactly?
Let's go on a bit of a journey. So we're playing Carlos de Sali, and if I'm correct, that piece must have been Verde Mar, composed in the 30s. Picture yourself walking into this grand old ballroom somewhere in Buenos Aires at about 1 a.m. in the morning, walk down some stairs, and the place is absolutely packed, full of people from 18 to 80, have this beautiful music playing, and everyone's dancing as if they're hugging. And they're just doing that all night. That's tango. That's tango for you.
Damn, I want a tango. Right?
Yeah. Now, I see your ad specifying Argentine tango.
Argentine, yes. So let's not confuse it with American ballroom tango. So you can imagine
ballroom tango
is like this, and your partner's somewhere over there, and you're here like that. And where's the embrace in that? You want to bring the embrace right in front like that.
You
know, it's way more of a connection. And I guess most of all, there's no real choreography. So what Argentine tango will give you is an alphabet, a series of letters, and you, the artist, the amateur, the lover of tango, you compose the words, you compose the sentences, and you compose the whole paragraph and story.
All right. Yeah. So to learn tango, it's like this is the form. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, and how you put that all together.
You can put it together however you like. But of course, you have to be able to interpret the music, but that comes with time. So, if you've never tried tango, you should give it a go. Particularly, I mean, if you've tried salsa, if you've tried merengue, if you've tried bachata especially. I mean, that's very, very close to tango in terms of what we would call the embrace. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. And anybody can tango.
Anybody can tango. As I said, basically from 8 to 80, anybody can tango. Do you know how tango got started here in Charlottesville?
No, how did it get started in Charlottesville?
So, I don't know if you remember Gabe Silverman.
I do remember Gabe Silverman.
Bless his heart. Actually, the anniversary of his passing is actually November 9th. It's coming up this Thursday. The old bugger passed away all too soon in, I think, 2013. Anyway, I first met him through a friend in around about 2006. And him being an exploratory sort of guy was just heading down to Argentina with a couple of mates. It's not long after his wife had died, and he went down, fell in love with tango, bought a house, renovated, and just went down dancing tango whenever he could get away from Charlottesville. And he said, look, here's the key. Go down, knock yourself out, and learn some tango too. So the two of us would often go down together and dance tango. When we'd come back, we thought, oh, let's start a tango studio, because we didn't have a studio then, and he said, look, here's some keys to an old building I have here in Charlottesville. So we'd have these little pop-up malongas around town, which is terrific. And a few years later, we got a lease, over at the Glasshouse building.
Uh-huh.
And we had that for 10 years. They kicked us out about 3 or 4 months ago because they're going to demolish the place. And we found this fantastic studio on Water Street. So here we are, 10 years later. We're our own beautiful studio downtown. We welcome everybody.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So how is the change, how do you expect the change from Tango, from Charlesville Tango to Tango and Water? How do you expect
We just think we'll get a lot more people. I mean, it's in a brilliant position. It's really well exposed. And I just hope that people walking by will see, I wouldn't mind trying that. It's a great way to spend a Saturday evening. And, of course, we have classes on Tuesday nights with Dave and Betsy Chesler. And we also have Anna Leon, who's our instructor in residence. She's actually from Richmond, but she comes up every Thursday. And she'll be here for 6 weeks, and then we'll do 6 weeks off, 6 weeks on. And again, it's a great way to meet folks. It's a great social skill to have, and as your listeners have just discovered, the music is awfully romantic.
Like I was going to say it because, I mean, you speak. Let's backtrack. You speak. This guy said he like bought a house and he like spent his entire time. It sounds like something that somebody does when they like are immersed into an experience, like playing guitar or painting or that type of art. What is it about tango, especially, that encapsulates like the psyche and the heart? Like, what do you think is, because you seem like I would say a huge proponent of tango and dance in general, I would say. So what do you say to that? Because dancers say it fulfills the heart and it takes you places that you've never been before.
I guess one word could sum it up nicely. Conexión. I danced salsa for many years, and Charlottesville Salsa is fantastic, of Edwin Rowe and Butch and all those guys.
Yeah, the Salsa Club's been here forever.
At the club. Like. In fact, you know, the Salsa Club here in Virginia is one of the longest running Salsa clubs.
I believe it.
Of North America.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Butch Bailey and Edwin.
You know how long this Salsa's been around?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So Edwin was the first guy to give me my first lesson in tango ever around about 2006. And I loved it, not because of the music. It took me a while to get used to this music, but there's this whole other subgenre of tango called tango nuevo. And they play this really upbeat, funky sort of music. And that's what grabbed me.
Mm.
And then later on I discovered, in addition to the music, there's this wonderful connection you can have not only with the person you're dancing with, which is kind of important, but also the music itself. As I said, it's just a wonderful way to pass a Saturday evening.
So Here's the thing. So, the United States.
I was just about to get... Go on, my brother, go on.
Oof. The United States. We are a country with, as we say every once in a while on the show, severe taboos about sex, nudity, and sexuality. And the tango is...
Or as you say, connection.
Suave. Yes. Connection suave.
The tango is such, it seems like such an intimate dance. I mean, and like you said, you know, connection, like the abrazo. Yes. You take someone, you hold them close to you, and then you dance. And so, I mean, I imagine that as you're dancing, you know, the blood's running, you can feel each other's heartbeats as you're working out. Do you encounter that being intimidating to some people?
I think initially, yes. I think a lot of people, men and women alike, find it awfully intimidating. But as of all things, you get used to it.
It's a release of vulnerability is what it is.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Because right, I'm thinking about all the people who do, like, the shoulder hugs.
Yes.
they stand, like, 5 feet away from each other, bend at the waist, lean forward, and that's how they do the hug.
But I mean, you're a 70s kid, I'm an 80s kid. I remember, like, us being at dances and the principal coming in between us with the ruler and tapping us and, you know, no, can't be touching while you slow dancing. Like, it's like we're just brought up in this patriarchal, Puritan society.
This is not your regular kind of dance. It's very close. It's very intimate. There's a reason why they call it the 3-minute romance.
Nice.
Yes.
See, I thought that was another thing.
That's Saturday
Netflix
night
and chill
for David.
Like, no. How much time we got until the drop?
We should do the drop now.
We should do the drop now because I got a lot of questions. I want to talk about Argentine versus Western American tango.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the the differentiations of tango and all that good stuff. This is Nathan Gillespie. Lighten it up, and this is Homegrown Drop.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
17 minutes past the hour. Vote Tuesday. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC. Vote Tuesday. The progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Clinton. Nathan Gillespie is in the house. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call. If you ain't woken enough already. Their host is...
Their host is Rick Moore.
The host is Rick Moore. Always. Their guest.
They're no longer telling us.
They're gonna have a guest, and yeah. It's gonna be amazing. It's an awesome show. We're an awesome team of people on 94.7. It's a great thing. Check it out. Just listen to us all day while you're watching football. You can put it on mute. It's a glorious thing. People will think you're smarter because you can do both things. Nathan Gillespie is in the house. Talking about tango.
I think before the break, you're going to ask me, what's the difference between American tango and Argentine tango?
That's exactly what I asked you.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted to learn a language?
Yes. Like a foreign language? I've wanted to learn Spanish for like the longest time.
But you've tried and you think, oh, this is... this.
No, I chose Latin because I was stupid contrarian in high school and I regret it to this very day.
Think of tango as a non-verbal language. And it's not going to take you 3 years to learn. It'll probably take about 3 months to get the basics. And what's great about this language, Argentine tango, is that it's international. So once you pick up the alphabet, and we can teach you the alphabet, and Edwin can teach you the alphabet, plenty of people can teach you the alphabet, and once you learn how to string those little letters together into words and paragraphs and stories, it's international.
For real.
You can take that language up to DC and dance with all the Russians and the Ukrainians up there. Or you can go to Germany, where all the women are 6.5 foot tall, and you can stare up them and dance with those ladies. Or you can go to Buenos Aires and feel perfectly at home. It's an international language. It's a wonderful way to meet folks from all around the world. And, of course, I should say to all the ladies out there who are really thinking about, should I learn tango? Well, let me tell you, if you love shoes... Yeah, if you love shoes, tango gives the ladies just the perfect excuse to buy the most divine shoes.
Well, I like shoes, but you can't tango in Jordans. Can you tango in Jordans?
Absolutely.
Okay, well then, good.
We just might have to stick some leather or something slippery on the base so you can slide around the floor.
Yeah, because you don't want to mess up the soles.
No. Don't want to get sick, because there's a lot of pivoting, too. So you have if you're a lady, you got to pivot on your toes, but if you're a gent, you also have to pivot as well.
Got you.
Yeah.
Toes and heels, I'm guessing.
So what are the... So every dance, I think... demands certain things, or certain things that it calls for in terms of physical prowess. Like if you're doing the jitterbug, you're gonna have to have a little bit of stamina because it's a very active dance.
Yes.
You're gonna do some hip hop dance. Your knees need to be in good condition because it's a lot of crouching and a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is there any particular thing that tango demands?
No, yes and no, but one of the most remarkable things when you hit these milongas, you call them dance halls, we call them milongas, you hit them in Buenos Aires, you see these, like, as I said, 18 to 80, and there's some rickety old people there with a lot of arthritis. That's not going to stop you.
Wow.
As long as you've got a lovely embrace, if you can hug someone with sincerity, and if you have some... sensuality and timing, you can dance tango. You don't have to be...
See, that speaks to me because I love dance, but I don't dance because I think I don't have the physical stamina to be able to do it.
Oh, on the contrary. So one of the good things about looking forward to getting old is that as you get old, you tend to put on a little belly.
Yeah, well, or more than a little in my case.
And actually, that kind of helps you if you're a kid, because you want to lead the lady. In tango, there's no manhandling. Okay, you're not doing this like you are on a swing and making the
way apart
that way. You have to lead with your entire body. And what better to help you lead than a little portly belly?
Just
push the ladies around like that.
More cushion for the pushing.
Exactly.
Then the glass being said.
Hashtag belly lead.
You know, that's tango for more cushion for the pushing. Yeah. But yeah, man, you are really selling me some tango right here, bro.
So, am I really doing? Are we really going to see?
No, I want to just hang up a poster in my wall that says tango now, and like believe in it, because like it just seems like you could make this a religion, bro.
Well, for some people, I think it is a religion. I mean, obviously, people can take it too far. And admit some
Some people make coffee a religion, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? There was a serious belief in this dance and what it does for you. Have you? I imagine that you've been to Buenos Aires since you...
I've had the pleasure of going many times. As I said, I was hanging out with Gabe Silverman for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And we often go down there.
Yeah. What's it like?
Have you been to London?
Yes.
Have you been to Paris? Yes.
No.
Think of Paris and London and Madrid combined, but falling apart at the same time.
It's probably the best description of a city that I've heard in decades.
Falling apart at the same time. You have this beautiful old building. Think back 100 years ago. Buenos Aires was one of the powerhouse economies of the world. And now it's basically a banana republic in terms of its 35% inflation. I mean, life sucks. If you're on a wage in Buenos Aires, it really, really sucks. It's tough. And for a lot of people, tango is a great outlet. It's a good, it's a good elixir. It's a good remedy for what is basically kind of a hard life for a lot of people down there. And tango gives you that outlet.
How did this dance from Argentina take to the world?
There are a lot of people who have many answers to that. So the prevailing lore is that it started off in the brothels. So as the chaps are waiting to go and wait for their lady for the
usually
night,
the greatest art comes from like the doldrums of society, like everything that's been thrown to like the refuge, like the ghettos.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the greatest art starts in the brothels.
Well, but yeah, that too.
People hang around.
There's a lot of great art that goes down in brothels. A lot of great stories, at least.
So while the chaps are waiting, they would just practice dancing with one another, and then this dance gradually evolved and it sort of emerged from the brothels and it became, part of social dances. And I guess it's been evolving for the last 60 or 70 years. It kind of went underground. So you have the dirty.
I was going to say, was it one of those things that, like in speakeasies, that like only people.
So you had its heyday in the 30s and 40s and towards the mid 50s. And then you had, a very tumultuous political time post war Argentina. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you had the dreadful military dictatorships from what, 74 to 83, called the Dirty War.
And this is all 20th century.
This is all 20th century, and virtually no one danced tango that. But after the Dirty War in the mid 80s, tango started to make a reemergence in Argentina. And then towards the mid 90s, you saw Argentine performers going out internationally and taking their craft to the rest of the world. And then there was this re-explosion of tango shortly after the financial crash in the last 90s, in the late 90s.
Really?
And then all these foreigners started pouring down into Argentina because they discovered this wonderful dance. So it's a combination of what was already lying nascent in Argentina, with all these foreigners coming and rediscovering this old Argentine custom tradition. And then I guess it's just exploded in the last 20 years. Wonderful.
I didn't think it was so recent.
Well, it's I would call like a rebirth. Almost. Gabe and I, when we were down there in 2006 for the first time, it was really happening. It was really, really happening. And since then, you have all these Argentine instructors who've just fanned out across the globe. And we in Charlottesville are very fortunate because we have visiting instructors once every 2 or 3 months. And in fact, last week, we had Rosalie and Alejandro. Came and gave this wonderful workshops and performances. And good stuff.
So I remember somebody describing to me once, or maybe I was watching it on a documentary, talking about a particular, I think it was more the more Caribbean dances, as a merger between the peasant more African-based dances and the stricter European dances, and then what you got was this hybrid between the two, that you had the strictness of body form from the European, like from the European waltz, mm-hmm. and yet you had the hips and the movement from the more African dances.
Because when I think tango, I think waltz. And I want to link the two. Yes. Is there a connection?
Does tango have a European dance connection?
Oh, yes. So there are varieties of tango. There's like there's tango, and traditional tango. And then there's this other variety called milonga. If it dance merengue and salsa. So merengue is to salsa. So let me take that back. Milonga is to tango as merengue is to salsa. They're closely related cousins. And, of course, we also have tango waltz. And it's just
KS Tango Waltz.
Tango Waltz.
That's like black belt tango right there.
it's similar, but it has a slightly different timing. It has a waltz timing.
Oh,
I love the tango waltz because it's really romantic and it's happy. Because the only problem with tango is all the songs, if you understand the lyrics, it's full of unrequited love. Like, my boyfriend left me, my wife left me, I'm so sad, I want to kill myself.
So it's my high school experience, all in dance form.
Whereas the tango waltzes are happy and gay and, you know, just delightful, and they're always very uplifting. So every milonga should have a nice mix of traditional tango, tango milonga, and tango waltz in it.
I want to sign up for some tango. How do I sign up for some tango?
Don't even sign up. Just come down Thursday, 7 o'clock. Classes start. We've got a beginner's class at 7 o'clock, intermediate 7:45, and practice at 8:30.
Is it like pay what you will? Like, do I throw money in a hat? Like, shoe? Is it a shoe?
$15 a lesson. But for that, you're going to get world-class instruction.
It sounds like it.
It's a great
I feel
deal.
Like I've gotten like a 101 course in tango, and now I want to just like
tango
in
your
that
life,
joint.
David. Tango in your life.
Gracias. Nathan Gillespie, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Absolute pleasure.
It was amazing. Like, I learned more about tango than I thought I would. Like, in all of this. So thank you so much for that. And I guess we're going to go to announcements, artistic events. The same thing that we do every week. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running now through December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center presents its summer fall season with just 4 plays. Emma Whipday's adaptation, Jane Austen's Emma, George Etheridge's The Man of Mood, or Fling Flatter, thank you so much, and Richard III, As You Like It, by Shakespeare.
Shakespeare!
Last chance for the 2018 Virginia Film Festival. See, I always do this. I always do this, Clinton. I always do this.
What's that?
I always say that I'm going to check out the film festival, I'm going to check out all the shows, and blah, 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 and then I never do it. Because I would get caught up in other stuff, or I got a play going on.
Festival regret.
Last chance.
I'm with you.
FOMO, baby. Check out virginiafilmfestival.org for a list of films, their location, and their show times. Please, 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 please. There's a lot of new stuff going on. Barry Jenkins' new joint. The guy who just did Moonlight. That's out there. A lot of big names, a lot of small names doing big things. So check out Virginia Film Festival, Joey Kilbasa. I've met him. He cares about the stuff that he puts out. So, yes, check it out, please. Spit in my mouth. Okay, currently running. Check out these exhibits by local artists. Tim Michaels' Ruminant and Laura Call Gastinger's Drawings from Nature at Chroma Projects Art Laboratory. Keep it like a secret. Enhanced Photography by Chelsea Hoyt. Top Knot Studio. Today, NaNoWriMo. Young adult author panel at the Central Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Tomorrow, poetry, short stories, painting, rap, dance, more painting. All a fair game. At the open mic at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. It's going to be off the chain. Oh, also, by the way, there's something really important that's going down on November 6th, and that's Election Day! Vote! Vote! Vote all white supremacists, fascists, and the opportunistic supporters of white supremacy and fascists out of control. Do it now. You have the power. Please, please, everybody, everybody, vote. Please, please. Wednesday, November 7th, from 6 to 8, Crozet Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library offers a quiet space for your dedicated NaNoWriMo writing time. So if you're like, man, I need a place to write, they got a place for you. November 7th, also, Laugh Your Ass Off, Host Battle, Election Autopsy, this should be good, with host Chris Allen and Winston Hodges. They were here last week at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. They're hilarious. They're going to bring it out. So check it out. Also on November 7th, we got a spoken word event, one mic stand at the V.R.L. Dickinson Building at PVCC. And Beverly Bouvier and Chicky Palm lead a drag queen invasion at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. So, November 7th, there's a lot going on. Just keep walking and keep talking. November 8th, the UVA MFA reading series continues with their students Betsy Blair and Miriam Grossman reading their works at New Dominion Bookshop. November 10th, young adult graphic artist Laura Lee Gulledge leads a visual storytelling workshop at Lighthouse Studio, where she shows parallels between creating a graphic novel and filmmaking.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, Clinton's going to be there. You're going to check it out. November 10th, also the rescheduled Belmont Bash at Belmont Park with food trucks, crafts, live music, local artists, the Big Shebang. Also on November 10th, Big Blue Door, Fall Improv Matinee. Big Blue Door is going to improve. Big Blue Door improv teams, Latte Farm, and product placement. Join the administration at McGuffey Arts Center. So it sounds like it's going to be awesome. November 10th, UVA Fralin Art Museum docent and former guest June Heinz guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration of Fralin art pieces at her Looking Inward Meditative Arts Tour. And on November 10th as well, Charlottesville Ballet presents a preview performance of their 2018-2019 season up front, Grit and Grace, at the CB Studio Theater. And for your music options this week, Clayton.
For your music options this week.
Get it together, Clayton!
Tonight, John Dearth and Friends at Fellini's. Today, the Ragamountain String Band at the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Violinist David Ceriti directs the UVA Baroque Orchestra doing works from the 17th and 18th centuries today on period. Check it out, period instruments.
Period.
Tonight, also, trumpeters Eli Goldstein and Will Evans lead an exciting jazz quartet as the Young Lions of Charlottesville as part of the Seville Jazz Series at the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative or Institute. November 7th, catch the covers of the music from the 60s and 70s with Timeless at Dirty Nelly's. Also November 7th, Yonder Phonics at Rapture and the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar presents Juliana Doherty and Gwion Pratt and Sam Moss. November 8th, Sweet Afton's at Dirty Nelly's. Get your alt-rock and proto-punk with Riff-tastic Breakers.
Alternative rock, I don't like the term alt-rock.
At the Southern Cafe Music Hall, November 9th, Sally Rose Band!
Oh, yeah.
At the Glass House Winery, Umberto and Madeline Salas are Beliza Bahiana.
Oh, snap.
At Bashir's Taverna on the downtown
Umberto
mall.
Umberto and Madeline Salas!
November 9th, singer-songwriter Kristen Ray Bowden performs in the release concert for her debut record, Language in Mirrors, at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Also on the 9th, Coda and the Drunken All-Stars at the Whiskey Jar. And during the 9th and the 10th, our man, Jason Burke, at Fellini's. November 10th, Sarah Sherman leads a vocal workshop relationship with the self through voice at the Center for Vocal Study. Check out Cartoon Graveyard also same day. Members of the Judy Chops and Lost Indian play all of Paul Simon's Graceland at Rapunzel's Coffee and Brooks, also with the Sally Rose Band.
Oh, Sam!
South Canal Street at Ball Top Brewing in Madison, the Pollocks at the Batesville Market, Hardswin Fish at Dirty Nelly's, and also on the 10th, enjoy traditional Irish music with Severed Heads of Guillaume Pond at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
Did you say Severed Heads of what?
Severed Heads of Guillaume Pond at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
What are y'all doing with these band names, y'all?
Every Sunday is Travis Elliott at Rapture. Also, every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot!
Seafood!
Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Red in the Romantics, Red in the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar, the ATM unit at Rapture, Songwriter Night at the local every Tuesday. It's Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero, the Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar, and the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub every Wednesday. The open mic night at Pro Reynada Farm Brewery.
Boom!
The open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, posted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9.
Oh, God, the carnage!
DG and friends at the Bebedero.
They shooting! Everybody's shooting!
Bachata Fusion at the Ixar Park.
They shot my baby.
Ben Hernandez
street.
And Gabe Roby at the Whiskey Jar.
Well, no, what the hell? 502
Fossils at the Shabin Pub and Bry.
Where did you get a nuclear bomb?
And the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Every Thursday, it's Lua at the Bebedero, and of course, skin, every Thursday...
Skin, blood, bones, frying off.
John Dearth!
Oh, snap. John Dearth!
And the John Dearth Quintet at Miller's is every once in a while.
Can we do that again? Can we do that
You want to do it again?
Yeah.
Of course, every Thursday...
Every Thursday.
John Dearth!
Ah, that feels so much better.
And the John Dearth Quintet at Miller's...
Because every Thursday...
You just got to come down to Dearth. And those are just some
of the artistic events, but not all. Damn, Charlottesville. You are amazing. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Grown, your show about local art. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
That was a really messy drop.
37 minutes past the hour.
It's a tragically messy drop.
It's all right. We do messy. We're doing messy right now. Okay, we got the camera back on. 37 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're watching Homegrown, maybe. You're listening to Homegrown. It doesn't matter. We go on Facebook Live. It is what it is. Stay tuned. Sunday morning wake-up call. Rick Moore is your host. Always bringing you a great show. We got a call in, so I got to strap this here headphone on. And, well, I got to put one on the phone, and I got to put one on... Here. Hello. Hello. Can you hear us, Tracy?
Hello.
Hello, Tracy.
There you go. Hello, Tracy.
How are you?
We are well. We are well. Tracy Strait is in the house. She is the executive director of the Wayne Theater. They're about to put on Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Demon Barber of Fleet.
You know what I'm talking about. You know that show. Everybody know that show. It's starting. It's opening on the date of the page that I can't find on my script. It's in here somewhere. November 8th through November 18th.
Page management, David.
Welcome, Tracy Strait, to our completely professional art show on the radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, at least digitally. So talk about it. Can you talk about, well, first of all, I want you to talk about, Sweeney Todd and, the production and kind of, the process that it took you to get from here to now and then leading into, your role, particularly at the Wayne Theater right here and now.
Absolutely. We are very excited to open Sweeney Todd this Thursday. We'll have 8 live performances and this is Stephen Sondheim's masterpiece. Absolutely incredible musical that has a wonderful moral to the story. And the main three things that the story is about is love, obsession, and revenge.
Yeah, and just, like, burn your bodies. Like, just don't make them into meat pies. Like, really get rid of the evidence completely.
You know, it's going to be so much fun. They're going to be fun to laugh. And there may even be some fruit pies.
I'm looking forward to it. That sounds amazing. That sounds like more interactive than anything.
That would be daring, and I think that's something that theaters need to do more. Please tell me that you're selling meat pies during intermission. Please.
I did not hear what you said. I said,
please. That would be so daring. More theaters should do that. Please tell me that you're selling meat pies during intermission. Please.
There will be some specialty things at our concession.
Oh, my God. We're so there. We're so there. And that's why the Wayne Theater is blowing up the way that it is.
A wonderful cast and crew is just amazing.
Right.
We have people from Charlottesville, from all over, that have traveled over an hour away each way to be in this production.
Right. And as David, as you said, this is a much beloved production, and so this is the type of show that pulls people to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Cool. So tell us about the Wayne Theater. You guys haven't been doing original musicals for long, have you?
Well, we opened in March of 2016, and we had our first one in the fall of 2016. So we've been open just over 2.5 years, and we're producing 4 musicals a year, along with a children's musical. Mm-hmm. And so we're very excited about the full Broadway series. Offers a wide range from your Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Something Friendly. We have Sweeney Todd, and then next will be Hairspray.
Okay.
And then we'll be closing the season with Bridges of Madison County.
What? Yeah, that's the way to do it. So correct me if I'm wrong, Tracy. Clinton kind of brought me up to speed on the entire abridged history of the Wayne Theater. And what I understand is that this wasn't necessarily the Wayne's Theater thing. Like, y'all didn't really put on big Broadway-style musicals like this. Y'all are more of like a traveling roadhouse, putting on local, smaller productions for the community. And that's kind of where y'all got your bread and butter from. And now you've kind of expanded into this new Broadway-style perspective of the theater. So can you talk about that transition and how that kind of, just talk about that and how you feel about that?
We have so much talent right here in this area. So we just have open auditions, and where people are coming locally and regionally, and we're able to help people act to use their talents in all different aspects of the stage, whether it be on stage as an actor and actress, or behind the scenes with the crew. Mm-hmm. We have all kinds of artists coming and designing and painting sets and constructing them, to working on sound design and running our follow spotlights. It's a real all-inclusive, and every show is a new group, and we seem to have new stars that come out for the show. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Definitely there is a love in this area to feature
absolutely
the local and regional talent.
Yeah. Central Virginia is booming with artists. So you would say, Tracy, because you're an executive director, from a business perspective, it was to broaden the bandwidth of actors, per se, to bring more more regional talent into Waynesboro. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes, absolutely. And that's just one of the things we do at the Wayne, is produce theater. You know, we also present, where we bring in entertainment.
Yeah.
Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. And we have a whole film section with classic films every Monday, documentary films that tour with the filmmaker. We're the only place in Virginia that has on-screen in person. And in the summer, we have family-friendly films, and then we also have a faith and film series.
Wait, so go back and
we
say
offer,
on... Wait,
go ahead.
So go back, on-screen in person. Explain what that is.
So through the Mid-Atlantic states, there were 10 locations selected to present on-screen in person.
Mm-hmm.
6 colleges, universities, 4 performing arts centers, and we're the only ones in Virginia. So we received 3 films in the fall, 1 a month, September, October, November, and then 3 in the spring. And they tour with the filmmaker, and we put together a group of panelists that has some relativity to the theme of the film, and have a discussion following the film. So they're bringing hot topics to the table for discussion, and for instance, of race, human trafficking, maybe autism, mental health, physical health, all different types of topics where people can come and have discussions on these topics in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
That's incredibly cool.
What has the reaction been to
all
that?
All of our films are free. We have a pay what you will donation jar, but anyone can come in and enjoy any of our films, along with our signature speaker series, which we have for science, health, and history.
Excellent.
Wow.
So Tracy, with acts coming in, with films coming in, with the shows that you guys are producing, do you, as an executive director, do you find are you responsible for the entire programming?
Yes, we have. I go to a couple of conferences a year where we physically see showcases and decide what we want to bring to the stage at the Wayne. We don't just review emails or videos that are sent to us. We want to see our acts perform and to see if they're making that good connection with audience members and how the audience reacts. And so we spend a lot of time showcasing what comes to the Wayne stage.
Okay.
So and we also take suggestions from our patrons. Patrons really help us in guiding the programming at the Wayne. They let us know what they want to see on film or live on stage, and we try to make it happen.
All right. So I want to, as I'm dropping things, I want to talk more about what leads to your decision making in these types of decisions that are going on in the theater now recently. But we got to do a drop. We got to pay some bills. Tracy, hold on. We're going to be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is McGuffey artist Sam Gray, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
48 minutes.
48 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown. For the little piece that's left, 94.7 WPVC. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. It's going to be a dope one. But now we got Tracy Strait, executive director of the new and improved Wayne's Theater in Waynesboro, Virginia. Tracy, good to have you with us. You still there?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome, thank you. So we've been talking about all of the moves that, you know, you've been heading up in all of this process. I'm sure you have a wonderful team that's helping you, like, see all of these aspects and things to help. I want to say improve the theater, because I don't think there's anything wrong with the way you've been doing theater in the beginning. But just really the term outreach is overused, but I think that's really what you're trying to do. It seems that you're really trying to, like, check the pulse of the community around Waynesboro and, like, ask, okay, what do y'all want to see, instead of us putting out all of these shows that we have by, you know, local playwrights. What do y'all want to see as a group, as a community? And it sounds like you're really trying to, like, get personal with Waynesboro. Talk about that.
Absolutely. We're always asking, when we do curtain speeches before a performance, for patrons to let us know what they want to see on film or live on stage. We mm-hmm. take those suggestions seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a wonderful team at the Wayne with our Broadway musicals. Hank Fitzgerald is our director, and Tracy Skipper is our production manager. They have a great crew behind them, from set designers, mm-hmm. sound and light designers, construction mm-hmm. crew. It's a huge team that comes together for our Broadway musicals. And, you know, we know we can't be just Waynesboro based, so we really try to position ourselves as a regional theater.
Right on.
Seeing that in those that come and audition for a musical.
Got to aim high. So I want to ask, and let me put on my news journalist hat, let me ask some, like, hard stuff. Have you received any type of, like, blowback from these changes and this new outlook of Waynesboro Theater? Have you experienced any people like, oh, well, the Wayne Theater never did it this way, and we shouldn't do it this way, we should just keep doing what we're doing the way that it is? Have you experienced any negative feedback from the changes that the Wayne Theater has made to their process and their application procedure?
Well, we're pretty new, so the only thing that we've done is we've added a couple more musicals than what we started the first year with, which was two.
Mm-hmm. And maybe, let me clarify, maybe not necessarily by, like, the theater, but, like, just by the community in general. Like, what, you know, what the hell is this? You know, I mean, this is Trump's America. Let's be real here. So it's like, has it been hard in any type of way?
Well,
I guess we're just asking, what's the reaction of the community vendor?
We've had an overwhelming positive response, and every time the doors open, there are new faces. And for that, we are thankful, and we know that the word is spreading. We don't have a very high marketing budget. We depend a lot on the word of mouth. And our volunteers, we call them ambassadors, because not only are they our treasure volunteers there at the theater, but when they step out of the building and are in the community, those that have walked through the doors, we hope that they'll be an ambassador for what we have going on at the Wayne. And every day is a challenge. You know, is this show going to sell? Is it going to, you know, they're here today and gone tomorrow. It's not like our musicals that have an eight-period run where the word can really get out the first weekend about how great it is to then every time the second weekend, we have to turn people away. They're selling out.
Mm.
We are putting on high-quality productions, and so we really thank our media, you know, you all having us on and everyone that helps with spreading the word of what's going on downtown Waynesboro.
That's our job. That's our job at Homegrown, is to get the word out to people about Central Virginia art that people might not necessarily know about but need to know about. So I'm glad we have you on. This has been a really enjoyable talk and a really great conversation.
Hey Tracy, what's the history of the Wayne Theater? Because you guys say that you started up in 2016. Is the Wayne Theater one of those theaters that used to, because we've got the Paramount here in Charlottesville, and it was one of those theaters where it lay fallow for years and years and years while people tried to get it refurbished. And then once they finally got it refurbished, they reopened.
See, that's what I meant, and that's what I was trying to get you to say before.
Is it the same type of story with the Wayne?
Right. So the theater was built in 1926 at the Vaudeville House.
That's what I meant.
And then it went through a couple of fires, and film, as more media became popular, it wasn't a thriving business, and it closed in the late 90s. And the city had a decision to make of whether to tear it down, make it a parking lot. And instead, the Cultural Commission approached them with the idea of letting a group of volunteers see what they could do, let them explore, give them a little bit of time. And so that's what happened. And I was actually part of that original group at the very beginning of this project.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a volunteer for many, many years. And then we opened of 2016. So it's been a journey, lots of speed bumps, but we have stayed positive and persevered. And that is the moral of the Wayne Theater story.
And tear down the Wayne or put up a parking lot. Ooh, la,
we
la,
also,
la, la.
Sorry. I should also mention we have another component to our building, and that is our exhibit gallery.
Talk about that.
Incredible exhibit gallery that rotates every 3 months. They are themed, curated shows. So anytime our box office is open or we're open for a show, people can also come and tour that.
That's awesome.
And
what do you exhibit in your exhibit gallery?
It creates a cultural hub to downtown, connecting with the other art museums in downtown Waynesboro.
So in your exhibit gallery, do you have works from visiting artists, from distant artists? Do you have works from local artists? Is it a combination? What do you show?
They are themed, curated shows. So right now it's a fiber show with 13 different artists from Northern Virginia. And I have a staff member, Liz Moss, and we have a whole arts advisory council that works together, and she's the main person behind. I had a lot of empty wall space, and so now this has added a whole other component to our facility that makes it worthwhile coming to the Wayne Theater.
Wow.
And people can purchase the artwork while they're there.
Mm.
So is that your hope and vision for the Wayne, that it becomes this artistic hub for downtown Waynesboro?
That's what we're trying to create, a cultural hub downtown.
Mm. And it sounds like that's
and
exactly what you're doing.
Businesses are thriving. I mean, the restaurants are telling us of how much they're up in sales.
And that's what you know. And we got to wrap it up, Tracy. And thank you so much. It sounds like you're putting your foot in it. But I want to lead out by saying that that's exactly what art does. Is that it enhances the businesses and everything around them. People think that art doesn't bring in money. That's false. Like.
That's right.
It helps everybody in the long term. Yep. So, yeah. So, thank you so much, Tracy, for doing what you're doing.
And you don't get that from a parking lot.
No, you don't get that from a parking lot.
And come see Sweeney Todd.
We will.
Oh, certainly.
We will. We're going to have ourselves a meat pie. It's going to be a wonderful time. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you, Tracy.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Bye.
Wow. Clinton, I want to thank you for... piecing together an amazing show at the last minute.
What are you talking about? We planned
this. We planned these two guests to be on the show all week. What am I referring to? But this has been a beautiful time. I love hanging out with you, Clinton.
I love you. With you, David.
Leslie, congratulations. I love you too. I love you, Nia. Mazel tov. And we're just gonna keep on keeping on. Stay tuned. Sunday morning wake up calls next. And this is Homegrown. Please go out and vote. Vote now if you can. Please, please, please vote, vote, vote. This is Homegrown. Bye.
We'd like to thank our guests, Nathan Gillespie and Tracy Strait. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music this week was the continuation of the tango by legendary tango man Carlos Di Sarli. Right now, we are listening to Kristen Ray Bowden, who, as we said, she's going to have her concert for her debut album just coming up. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine lisping law firm of Tuchterman, Overman, Munthen, and Burke, legal services that wrap around you like a thong. Coming next, of course, it's the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with Rick Moore. Be good to each other. See you next week.
WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.